Now, look with me, please, in Matthew chapter number 2. And while you're turning again, let me just say thank you again so much for all of your kindness to me and Regina and our family, the gift from the church and the cards that we've received in the mail and here, and then several handed us stuff this morning. And I thank you for that. I do appreciate so much this time of the year and all the year. Y'all always a blessing to me. But I want us to read this account in Matthew chapter number 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that's born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he'd gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together and demanded of them where Christ should be born, they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him." And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Oh, we've read that story over and over again. Every time I read it, I see something different. You know, I was looking at it just now, even while I was reading it. And he got all the scribes and Pharisees together and said, "Where's Messiah going to be born?" They said, "In Bethlehem." And yet when Jesus was born, there was no room for him in the inn. They knew he was coming, but they didn't prepare for it. They knew he was coming, but they didn't know it was going to be then. They thought maybe it was going to be sometime later, didn't realize when it's going to be. But I would think if they thought he was going to be born, it's coming, that some of them at least would have been around Bethlehem somewhere looking for his return. My dear friend, it's possible for you to know what the Bible says and not believe what the Bible said, or not live what the Bible said. I mentioned to you last Sunday, and a couple of Sundays ago, when we was talking about Jesus in his own country, no honor, that sometimes it's possible for you to understand or to hear the Word of God, but not receive the Word of God. It gets so you get so common. Jesus Christ is coming again. Yeah. And my friend, it might be the day. Thank God for that. I get cards and letters from people a lot of time whose loved ones are in heaven. And I think about when my good friend, Brother Avery Rogers, passed away. And that very Christmas, I got a card from his wife. And she said, "This is Avery's first Christmas in heaven." And she'd found a poem, said, "My first Christmas in heaven." It was amazing. I've still got it stuck somewhere. But you think about all the loved ones who are there. Heaven's a real place. But it's also real that Jesus Christ is coming again. But let's don't let the truths get so commonplace we don't get excited about them and anticipate them. But now, what I want to share with you this morning is this picture here. The Bible said, if you will, look with me, please, at verse number 11. "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him." Number one, just by way of introduction, I want you to know they knew who to worship. They did not worship Mary. They worshiped him. And I'm going to tell you, the one to be worshiped is him. You worship him. And they fell down and worshiped him. And the Bible said, and when they opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on giving gifts to Jesus. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God help me this morning. I want to thank you for the wonderful singing of the congregation and the choir, for Miss Juanita, Lord, this morning. And thank you for Brother Brad. And God, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would speak. I pray, Father, you'd minister to our hearts. Lord, I ask God for the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And God, there's no good thing in me. And apart from the work of the Holy Ghost, nothing of eternal consequence will take place. But God, there are dear friends in this building who've come to this place with heavy hearts. They're anxious over things in their family. They're burdened over finances. God, there's so many things, so many needs, their own personal battles. And God, I pray you'd give deliverance. I pray, God, you'd give a blessing. I pray you'd minister. And God, I pray, Father, the Holy Ghost right now, God, would help me to have clearness of thought, take away anything that would hinder the work of the Holy Ghost. And God, if there's a man or woman, a boy or girl in the building or in the sound of my voice through the media ministry that, Lord, is not saved, I pray, God, today they'd receive the greatest gift of all, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, Father, I pray, God, that you'd speak to all of us here. And God, help us, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible said when these wise men came, they traveled a long ways, and they came to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And they came, as they, the Bible said, as they entered into where he was at, the Bible said they fell down and worshiped him. They approached him humbly. They approached him worshipfully. They approached him respectfully. They recognized him, that little infant baby, as the Messiah. They humbled themselves before him in bowing down. My dear friend, they worshiped him as to who he was. And they gave him glory, great respect. They bowed him. They, in fact, were wise men. They were the kings of the East that came. And yet they were willing to bow before him because they understood his supremacy over everybody, that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And the Bible said they gave him three gifts. The Bible said they opened their treasures. And I just sometimes, I don't guess I read things into it, but I just kind of see things. I can, in my heart, I see it. They had come, maybe they'd brought all kind of things. They had all kind of treasures. They had, they had some different jewels or this, that, and the other. I don't know what and all they had. But the Bible said they opened it up. And when they had opened the treasures, they gave to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I don't know how many they had or what they had, but I can tell you one thing about it. I'm certain that they gave the best that they saw when they opened the treasures. And you and I owe him our very best. When they opened the treasures, they gave him gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, these three gifts speak of him. And all of this is in God's orchestration. God planned all of this. Number one, the gold speaks of deity. That's a gift of a king. The Lord Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. And he is God incarnate in human flesh, Emmanuel. You'll call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. And Jesus Christ, that babe in the manger, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. There's a time later in his ministry when the Holy Spirit of God descended on him in the form of a dove. But I believe from the very incarnation that all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. That little baby, all of God, encompassed in that one little body. My dear friend, he was God. He has always been God. But when he came, he was God incarnate in human flesh so he could suffer and bleed and die. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, because he was God. And the Bible said it was impossible for death to hold him because he was God. My dear friend, they gave to him not only gold, but they gave him frankincense. And that's a special spice that was used in incense in the worship. It speaks of priesthood. It speaks of his priestly ministry. And that speaks of him. The priest was a go-between between God and the people. And when he went into the tabernacle, he had on a breastplate. And on that, he had these precious stones. And every one of them, each stone represented one tribe of Israel. And on his shoulders, he wore onyx stones. And etched in those stones were the names of the tribes of Israel. And so we went into the tabernacle to worship and to offer sacrifices for the people. He carried the people on his heart with that breastplate. But he carried them on his shoulders as well for his strength. I'm glad that the Lord loved me, but I'm glad he's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. There's nothing impossible with God. And he's able to carry us and keep us from falling. My dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this earth as God incarnate in human flesh, but he came to be a priest. He came to be a representative. The Bible calls him the mediator between God and man, and it's the man Jesus. One go-between, one way to heaven for me. He represents me to God, represents God to me, and he is my way to heaven and your way to heaven. and they gave him frankincense because of his priestly ministry. Not only because he's a mediator, but because he's an intercessor. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says this, he ever lives to make mention of us. He always is praying for us. He's our mediator. He's our intercessor. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. I text some now. Sometimes it's easier than driving. I'd rather talk, but I text not for my convenience, but for other people's convenience. Sometimes it's not easier for them to talk. But I always try to put something on there like this. I'm praying for you, and I mean that. I mean that I've been praying for you and thinking about you and approaching heaven for you. And you know, when I think about things I'm going through and you're going through, I'm thankful for the prayers of God's people. But I'm going to tell you something else. I'm thankful that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. I don't know all of your names. Some of you, I know your faces. You've been here pretty regularly. And sometimes I apologize. And some of you I've known 22 years. And I look at you and I say, hey, brother. That means right then I don't remember your name. But you know, God's good, isn't he? And he knows my name. He knows the very hairs of my head, knows the very number of hairs on your head. And right now, he's calling your name before God the Father. Amen. Wow. Thank you, you think about that. And he's just a little baby. They knew he would be a priest. And the next gift is very unusual. It is an herb. It's called myrrh. And myrrh, as you read the Word of God, is primarily one of the primary ingredients in the anointing of the dead. Remember in the Bible, they came when Jesus had died and they brought ointment to anoint him at his death. Myrrh is involved in that. And that last gift speaks of death. God, the priest, and the Savior and sacrifice. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. But my dear friend, they came to Jesus and they recognized that he was God incarnate in human flesh, Emmanuel. They knew he was the high priest, the great high priest, but they also knew that he was the offering of the high priest. The Bible said Christ offered himself, and then he said he presented his own blood to the Father. Oh, listen, when I was doing a study of the garments of our Savior one time, we went through and we saw that when the priests went in to offer, they wore that long linen garment and they didn't get the blood all over their royal priesthood clothes, but that blood splattered on that white clothing when they offered those sacrifices. And when they took, the Bible says they took him and they put his own garment back on him. That's what they did. They put that long white undergarment on him and they beat him and everything else. But the Bible said when they hung him on the cross, they stripped him. And I got to looking at that. I said, why was that? Because when he was there offering himself, he was a priest in that white robe. But when he hung on that cross, he was not acting like the priest. He was the sacrifice. He was the lamb that was slain on the Day of Atonement. He was the lamb that the priest and those who brought lamb symbolically laid their hands on his head and conveyed all their sin to that lamb, and then he was slain. The Lord Jesus Christ bore all our sins in his own body, and when he hung on that cross, he died as the lamb. He gave his life a ransom. He died and shed his blood. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's the gift of the wise men. Now, I've got 8 minutes. No, I don't. I got 2 minutes. And I got 8 points. That's the introduction. You know I'm not going to preach all that, but I want to tell you about it. I got to thinking, I wonder if anybody ever gave him anything in the Bible again. Was there ever another time when somebody gave him something? And I read this story about when he was teaching on the mountain, and there was 5,000 men. They were hungry, and the disciples said, they're going to faint in the way. You need to send them away. And he said, what have you got? One of them said, hey, we don't have a thing. But there's a little lad here. He's got his lunch. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 little fishes. And that little boy gave his lunch to the Lord. Now, that narrative is not in there. It just says, they said, this little boy got it. And the Lord, the Bible said, he took that bread and he blessed it and he broke the bread. And I remember old Mays Jackson preaching on that one time, said, here's 5,000 people. And the disciples there, and they look at it, and the Lord thanks God the Father for it, and he begins to break that bread. He picks up like a loaf of French bread. Actually, it's a little, probably a wafer, but he held it in his hand, and he'd break it off, and he'd hand it to a disciple. And when he'd break it off, it'd say, boop, and it'd come out about 2 inches. He'd break it off again, boop, and it'd come out, and he did that, and he did that, and he fed 5,000 men plus the women. And when they got through, everybody ate all that they could hold, and they picked up 12 basketfuls of leftovers. I don't know what they did with, but there again, in my mind, I believe the Lord told some guys, well, you take that little fellow back to the house. And he took back 12 basketfuls of those little dried fish and that bread and said, Mama, I gave him just a little bit, and look how much he gave me back. Can I tell you one thing? You can't outgive the Lord. Whatever you give to him, he'll give back to you 100-fold. You give it to him. Listen, such a little insignificant act, and yet it's recorded in the Bible. He notices everything, and everything that they gave him, and that little boy gave him. Boy, we read about that. We talk about it in Sunday school. What a blessing. And then I went on a little further in the Bible, and I found in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, there were several women mentioned there. Mary Magdalene was one of them. A lady by the name of Susanna was there. But then it said, and many other women. And it said that they ministered to him of their substance. And what it means is that when he was traveling and preaching, they met his needs. They prepared meals for them, fed him and his disciples. And I don't know what, but just those things they gave to him. But their names are in the Bible because just the daily food, just a little thing, they did a cup of water to go bring him water or whatever. But while he was ministering, teaching, preaching, these women traveled along and they ministered to him and his disciples out of their substance. They took care of him. They provided for him. Oh, listen, they shared what they had for him and for his glory and their names written in the Bible. Oh, listen. Just the little things are what makes a difference sometime. Just the little things you do. But I'll remind you, my dear friend, that it's what we do for him, not just one time a year, or the first Sunday in December when we take a thank you, Jesus, off, but it's what we do for him every day. Every day that makes the difference. Then I found this in Luke chapter 21 and verses 1 through 4. Jesus stood by the treasure, and there's a widow woman that came in, and she put in 2 mites, which is like 2 pennies. And he looked around and of all the people who'd brought gifts, and I'm sure there were some that were, you know, 100 times that perhaps. But you know what he said? He said, of all the people who've given today, she's given more than anybody because she gave all of her living. She gave him everything she had. And can I tell you something? Everything that you have belongs to him. And you ought to give him everything. You ought to give him your whole life. And he made mention of that woman. And here she is, a widow woman. And she slipped by, and I'm sure she's a little bit embarrassed about dropping in 2 mites. But she gave everything she had. And the Lord took note of it. I want to tell you something. I don't care what you do for him. He keeps note of it. He's keeping the records. Paul said one place, God is my record. He's a good record keeper. And you think about when you're talking about dividends, drawing dividends. I was listening this morning to Robert Jeffers, and he was talking about if a young man was 20 years old, I believe, and he started putting $100 a month, $100 a year, I forget now. But at any rate, when he's time his retirement age, he'll have $2 million if he just puts it in a regular IRA or anything. Have $2 million, just a little bit over a long period of time. But you know what? The Bible said that when we sow into the life of the Lord and into the work of the ministry, it draws dividends down the road, and God blesses the increase. Not only that woman who gave everything she had, but in Matthew chapter 26, I found another woman. The Bible said just prior to the death of our Lord, she came and she brought an alabaster box of precious ointment, and she broke it, and she anointed the Lord Jesus Christ with it. Oh, the disciples got nudged right. They said that could have been sold. It was very valuable. It could have been sold. We could have given money to just so many poor people. We could have given that. That's a waste. And he said, no, it's not a waste. He says, she's anointed my body for burial ahead of time. She did what she could. She did what she could with what she had. And then she did what she could when she could. I want to remind you, my dear friend, you need to do what you can for the Lord. And you need to do it with what you have. Don't wait till you say, I've got this and that and the other. And then you do it when you can. You be a blessing now. And God will bless you down the road. There's so many things. On all these, I'd like to see a bunch of stuff, but I don't have time. But I want to give them to you anyhow. God can do something else next Sunday. But not only did I find that, but I found there's a man in the Bible. The Lord's getting ready to come into Jerusalem. And he said, if you go to such a place as a man's got a donkey there, you bring him, you tell him the master's got need of him. And he said, we don't find any hesitation on that man. And they brought the donkey back. And Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that donkey. They spread out the palm branches in their clothing in front of them. They said, Hosanna to the King. The Lord Jesus Christ rode that donkey in the town. My dear friend, listen, he gave the means that he had to carry Jesus to the city. My dear friend, you and I have that responsibility with what God's given us to carry the gospel around the world. And ever how we do it, it's involved in what we give him. What would you give him? What would you give the Lord? Then I found a story. I heard Brad talk about this the other day. Luke chapter 17, there were 10 lepers that came to him. And they begged for cleansing. And he cleansed all 10 of them. And then they left. And just shortly, one of them turned right around and came back. And the Bible said, and he fell before him. And he gave him thanks. Oh, my dear friend, what have you given to him? You say, what can I give Jesus? Don't ever take for granted your salvation. You ought to thank him every day for saving you. Thank you every day that you have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Thank him for saving you. I hear of a lot of people. So many of my friends are dead. So many folk that I grew up with that didn't get saved. God didn't, they didn't trust Christ, and their lives have been cut short. They've died, lost, as far as I know. But my friend, God's been so good to me and blessed me. I want to just thank him over and over again. Don't you ever, what can I give him? You say, Brother Bill, I don't have much money. Well, just give all you got. Settle that. I don't have him down to $10. That woman was down to 2 mites, and she gave every bit of it. I believe God blessed her. That little boy didn't have just two little fishes and 5 loaves of bread, but he gave it, and God multiplied all so many times over. And here, my dear friend, you just give him. Just give to him. Be obedient to him. Give him your thanks. Offer sacrifice of thanks to him. You ought to not live a day without thanking him. And this time of Christmas is a happy, joyous time. It's a time of thanksgiving for me. Oh, I thank the Lord for the Easter season, the death, burial, and resurrection. I thank him then. But I'm thanking him now that he came and for saving me and for what he did for me. And then I read this. I'll skip over some of them and I'll go right to the end. Jesus has been beat to just to a pulp. They've crucified him, hung him on a cross. And finally he cries, it is finished. And he said, Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost and he died. Then somewhere shortly thereafter, a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea came to him. You'll find that story in Matthew chapter 27. And he begged the body of Jesus. And if you study a little closer and read through all, you'll find that Nicodemus that came to him by night, he was there too. But took the body of Jesus off that cross and they wrapped him in grave clothes. And the Bible said, and they went to Joseph's tomb. And it said it was a new tomb. And he put Jesus in there, in his own tomb. Oh, there's a song Regina and them used to sing. She used to sing called The Barred Tomb. It's just a barred tomb. He knew he wasn't going to need it long. He just barred that tomb. But here's a man who gave Jesus his tomb. Now, I've never been to Holy Land. I want to go. I'm just trying to get, God's put it in my heart this year. Maybe I want to go to Israel. Maybe next November. Maybe you go too. But when you go to the Holy Land, they take you a lot of historical sites. One place they go is to the empty tomb. And somebody texted me one time, they were over there, and they said, he's not here. I don't know, and they don't know for sure that's Joseph's tomb. But if it is, I know this, I know Joseph wasn't ever buried in there. Evidently, he went and got him another tomb. But he gave his tomb to the Lord. You say, Brother Billy, that was a kind thing to do. It was. But as I was thinking about that, studied about that, all of that was in God's orchestration. God planned all that. That man, I don't know how busy he was. I don't know what kind of busy he had. But somehow or another, all of a sudden, something struck him. He said, I need to dig me a tomb. I need to dig it out of the rock. He said, this is a new tomb that he had dug. And he prepared that tomb, and then he gave it to Jesus. He put Jesus in the tomb. And evidently, he didn't ever use it because he's not there either. But over the centuries, millions upon millions upon millions of people have walked through that garden and come to that tomb, the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, that's now empty. And what he did is a testimony still there today that he gave that tomb to Jesus. And that tomb has been used, and people talk about, well, they've been here and there, but when they walk into that empty tomb, there's just something about it that just gets hold of their heart. And do you know that you might do one little thing today, and it might affect people, not just for the rest of your life, but for the rest of the time till Jesus comes. And from now till Jesus comes, there'll be people going to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea to see where Jesus was laid. He gave him his tomb. What can I give him? What can you give him? You understand all these things I've talked about, very small, very insignificant, and God, the Holy Ghost, chose to put them in the Bible. You just need to give him your all, give him everything you got. But most of you right now understand this. Paul wrote in Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren. I got to think about that therefore. If you go back and read through all that before he makes that statement in the book of Romans, he's explained salvation. We use what we call the Roman road to go through. How that Jesus bore our sins in his own body. How that scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure man, some would even dare to. God commended his love toward us, and while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's explained all of that. And then when he gets down through all of those 11 chapters previous to that, and then he said, therefore, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. If you're saved today, you ought to give him your life. Give him your life. Love him, serve him, and just honor him in everything you do and say. That doesn't mean you resign your job. Doesn't mean you leave everything. Wherever you are, you serve him and you honor him. And God will honor you for doing that. But then some of you here today and some of you in the media audience, the one thing that's absolutely necessary is that you give him your heart. You need to give him your heart today. If you've never been saved, would you give him your heart? Would you come to him in simple faith and say, God, I'm a sinner. Today, I want you to come in my heart. Forgive me of all my sin. The Bible said that he'll save to the uttermost all that call upon him. Would you give him your heart? Would you give him your life today? Oh, what an exchange to trade all of your sin for all of his righteousness. Trade death for life. Trade darkness for light. And you can do it by a simple act of faith in receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning? You've listened so good this morning. Have you ever thought about what you could give him? Oh, a simple thing. A little boy gave him 5 barley loaves and 2 little fishes. A widow woman gave him 2 pennies, the equivalent thereof. But it is actually all that she had. She gave him everything she had. A leper who was cleansed from the top of his head to the sole of his feet gave him thanks. Joseph of Arimathea gave him his grave. I wonder what you could give him. Have you given him your life? Have you surrendered to him and let him save you and give you everlasting life? If so, why don't we give him praise like the leper? Let's surrender everything to him and understand that all that we are and all that we have belongs to him. And just give him worship, adore him, serve him, praise him. Will you stand with me for prayer this morning? With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Lord, you've been so good to us. And our Father, you've given us everything. Every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of lights. Everything I have, everything that I say is mine, really is yours. You gave it to me. But Father, you gave me everlasting life. I came to you by faith and confessed my sin and asked Jesus to come in. And God, you saved me and gave me everlasting life. And thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for it. Thank you for forgiving my sin. Thank you, God, for blessing all these years. And God, for your mercy and grace that follow me all the way. Because God, I sure ever need your mercy. Mercy is for guilty people. And Lord, I failed you so many times. Oh, thank you, God, for loving me. And even when I was faithful, not faithful, you were faithful. Yep. God, I thank you for that. God, help my life to be a testimony. I pray, God, that, Lord, that I'd live a life in such a way to honor Jesus. God, because of what you've done for me. Now, God, I pray you speak to your people. Now, Father, this is not man's work. It's the work of the Holy Ghost. And God, I pray, Father, that, Lord, already you've dealt with some boy, some girl, man or woman, here in the building or in the internet audience that's not saved. Now, I pray the Holy Ghost of God's fingered around their heart, brought deep conviction. And now, our Father, I pray that they'll respond in faith and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray for God's people. Lord, these are good days. They're busy days. Our Father, we give a lot of attention to shopping and decorating and all of that. But God, we love you. And I pray, God, you'd help us in everything we do to be reminded every day of your goodness to us. And thank you through all this Christmas season. Thank you for family. Thank you for gatherings of friends and all the fellowship we have. And God, I know personally I wouldn't be enjoying any of that had not I got saved. God, this wouldn't be my crowd. I might not even be alive. But God, I'm sure thankful I can. I can go to the Christmas parties and spend time with God's people and spend time with God's people here at church and with my family because you loved me and died for me. Because the Holy Ghost of God convicted me and drew me. And I'm glad, Lord, by faith I received you as Savior. And I pray now, God, you'd bless. God, you put on the heart of people what they ought to do. And I'll thank you. Heavenly Father, speak now.